Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Tyler Tichelor, author of Spirit of the North, among many others. Spirit of the North is a paranormal romance set in Tyler's own hometown during 1873. He presents the story of two orphan sisters, Barbara and Adele Traugott, who travel to Upper Michigan to live with their uncle, only to find he is deceased. Penniless, they are forced to spend the long, fierce winter alone in their uncle's remote wilderness cabin. It is a survival story, a paranormal encounter, and a found love. All of this make an awesome read. But before we start, let's learn a little bit about Tyler. Tyler is a multi-published and accomplished author, editor, and publisher. He is the current president of the Upper Peninsula Publishers and Authors Association, owner of Superior Book Promotions, and the regular guest host for the Author Access Internet Radio Show. To learn more about Tyler, visit www.marquettefiction.com, and that is www.marquettefiction.com. Hi, Tyler. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm really excited to finally talking to you, actually, because I know all about your website, and I'm a history bug myself. So
okay.
I'm intrigued about one major fact that I'm going to ask you right now, because I can see that you love history. Everything that you have on your website has to do with history, specifically about Marquette. So
right.
What is it about this place? Because if there's something that I think you love more than history, is Marquette. Your passion for it comes through in all of your work. What is it about this place that inspires you so much?
I think the obvious answer is it's home. My family's been here since 1849 when Marquette was founded. And so I've got a long history with my family here. And I've got, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth cousins in this town. So I feel a real connection to everybody and to the place itself. And I don't know that if I lived somewhere else that would be the case, even if my family were from that area, because a lot of it has to do with the beauty of the area. It's just, you know, it's a beautiful place to live. I'm right on Lake Superior, just a few blocks away from it, and every day the lake is a different shade of blue, and even in winter when there's lots of snow and ice, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah, well, I grew up in the tropics, so I'm always I think that the northern portions of America was they're just beautiful just because of the change of seasons. I never had that while growing up, so I can see how each season might inspire something new within you in a place that you love so much. I think it's great. I'm an immigrant, so I've been traveling, and I migrated so many times, I cannot even count. So that's why I was so intrigued about your love of your home and your place, and I think it's admirable of you coming up with so many books and so many neat stories about it.
Well, I kind of feel like Marquette is world enough. I mean, I've been to many, many other places in the world and in the U.S., but you know, you really don't have to look beyond your backyard for material for your fiction. I mean, just this town that's been here for, I think, 163 years now, and you think of all the thousands of people that have lived here over time, there's tons of stories that you can create from that.
Yeah, and you certainly proved that with all your works on the area. Now you have this new paranormal fiction that came out, actually paranormal romance, Spirit of the North. Tell me a little bit about this book.
Well, it is about two sisters named Adele and Barbara who come up to Marquette in 1873. And they're about, I think they're 20 and 16 in the book. And their father and their mother are deceased. And the only relative that they have is an uncle who lives in Marquette. So they're coming up here to live with him. And when they get here, they find out he has died, and they have no money, so they have no way to get back home or anywhere to go. So they're really the only option that they have is to go and live in a cabin, their uncle's cabin out in the woods for the winter. and try to figure out how to make a living doing that. And it just kind of goes from there. It's a story of survival. And as far as it being a paranormal romance, the word romance I'm using kind of broadly, and not just to mean a love story, but also in the sense that romance used to be used back in the days of back in the Middle Ages and in Hawthorne's day. Romance often meant it didn't have to necessarily be historically true or necessarily connected to reality, but it was more fictional and more fantasy-like. So, and paranormal, it just hints that there's some supernatural elements into the story.
I really not only love history, but I'm actually the best combination in my book is history and ghost stories.
Okay.
And I'm a fan of actually haunted history. I've seen every single episode, and I just love the intrigue of the paranormal. But I also love the fact that it's like something based in true facts and life of people in a certain area. And so I am wondering, with this paranormal romance, and this takes place in Marquette, am I correct?
Yes.
You're mixing that combination that I love. How do you come up with this idea? I think it's so great. What inspired you to write about paranormal entity in this romance?
Well, I started out, it's kind of a roundabout long story. I had initially envisioned writing a story, just sort of a survival story about these two girls living in the woods in winter because I thought it would be a great survival story. In fact, I've used to be a big fan of the TV show Survivor, and I always thought, well, they should do Survivor in the UP in winter. That would be a real survival story. Now, put them on some pleasant tropical island. As I was writing the story, I didn't set out to write a paranormal story. It just sort of happened that the characters, they have some difficulties in their life that they're sort of working their way through, and the paranormal kind of just comes in and says, hey, life isn't that hard and that tough, and there's other forces in the universe looking out for you. And as far as using that ghost in the story, there is a ghost in the story, and she actually came from a short story that I wrote when I was in eighth grade. I took a creative writing class, and I wrote this short story about this boy who is kind of walking through the woods, and this tree branch hits him on the head, and he gets lost in the woods, and his parents have to go find him. And I made some comment in the story about his miraculous rescue or something, and my creative writing teacher said, well, there's nothing really miraculous here. And I thought, oh, well, what can I do to make it miraculous? So I had the boy found by this ghost who leads his parents to his body. And he then is rescued. And that ghost just kind of stuck in my head all these years. And so she shows up in this novel. And I had even hinted at her in a couple of my previous novels because some of the books take place at the same time. But this one I decided to give her sort of full rein and tell her story in detail.
And this ghost that you're talking about is actually a Marquette icon or something like that?
I've promoted her as Marquette's first ghost. And, I'll admit that she is fictional, although I do have a picture in my book about Marquette, my Marquette, of her gravestone. So if she is fictional, I don't know where that picture came from. But, yeah, I grew up in a neighborhood called Stonegate, and the ghost's name is Annabella Stonegate. And I grew up in a neighborhood named Stonegate, which I don't know where they came up with that name, but I kind of created a Stonegate family in my book to go along with that.
I think it's great, though, that you're kind of creating a legend without your story with about Annabella Stonegate, because years from now we might wonder, where is that true or not?
Well, sure, and it's just it's kind of like Paul Bunyan. In the book, one of the characters tells a Paul Bunyan story, and same thing. People wonder, was there any truth to Paul Bunyan? Mm-hmm. What is the actual origin? And Minnesota and Michigan and Maine all claim that Paul Bunyan belongs to them originally. So
yeah, and in a way, there might be. if you think about it, at least in my case, when I write historical fiction based, the characters are all based true characters.
Right.
You know, of my life or anybody, whether it is people that I've met or not, that have marked me in some way and that have stuck in my mind, you know, their personalities, even their physical appearance sometimes. And I use that, actually. And so, in a way, all these characters are reminiscence of people that are true and, you know, in your life, I guess, because you're writing from your home. And so I think it's really neat, actually, that you're creating this Annabella Stonegate. And it sounds like something so historical from Marquette, too. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more of you talked about the law of attraction and how it works in your novel. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, sure. When the ghost ended up being put into the book, at that time, I had just started to read about the law of attraction, and specifically the books, The Teachings of Abraham by Jerry and Esther Hicks. And I had read things like The Power of Positive Thinking before that. And I wouldn't say that the law of attraction is out and out a theme in the book, but just the whole idea of positive thinking definitely influences the book. And the idea that, you know, our reality is kind of what we make it. The main character, Barbara, is quite stubborn and kind of a control freak and trying to keep everything together for her and her sister. And, you know, she kind of just has to realize that, you know, life doesn't have to be that way if she would change her attitude. And then she can maybe attract better things into her life. So I don't want to give away too much, but that's kind of the basis of it.
So when you created the characters for this story, and how true are they to the, I don't want to say, maybe prototype, I guess. You know, there are some certain things that are attached to an area, a certain area. So how true are these characters to Marquette and the people that, like yourself, have a long story history there? Is there anything that you can say about the people there that reflects on your character?
Sure. Well, this book ties in with my first novel called Iron Pioneers. It's set kind of during the same time period. And so some of the characters in that book are in this book. And the characters in Iron Pioneers specifically, a lot of them were based on members of my family. I fictionalized a lot of it. But, for example, when the sisters first come up to Marquette in the novel, in Spirit of the North, they stay at a boarding house. And the boarding house is owned by the Whitman family. And my three greats grandmother actually ran a boarding house in Marquette back in the 1800s. So, you know, that's a little detail that's based in history. There are two characters who are loggers in the novel, and logging, of course, was one of the biggest industries here in Upper Michigan in the late 1800s, and one of those characters is based on my great-grandmother's brother, who was a logger. So, I try to incorporate elements of the, you know, the culture, the history, the industries that existed in the area at the time. And, of course, there's always the winter. You know, we typically get around 200 inches of snow in the winter here.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of surviving through a winter like that, through blizzards and the cold and trying to forage for food in the forest, all those elements are tied into the story.
Yeah, yeah. I love to hear about the reality in the fiction that we write, because a lot of my readers ask me that question. Well, how much really is fiction? How much is writer? And reality. And I think I'm discovering now at my older age, and I'm not that old, but I like to think I am, I'm discovering that it's really everything that we create in our minds, it has so much about our own background, and, you know, it's like you said, the best stories come in your own backyard. And I didn't realize that when I was just a reader, you know, and I would read something that is fiction, I would wonder, where do they come up with all this? And there is a lot of creativity, but there's so much life experience into it, too, that I think is wonderful, especially when it has to do with your history and your plays, and then you call it fiction. So
right, I think that's really true, especially for me in writing about Upper Michigan. when I started writing my novels, there weren't really many novels set in the area. There were some children's books, but not a lot of adult novels. And I was really influenced by Willa Cather, who wrote Oh, Pioneers. And I have a quote in one of my books from her where she said that she had sought for books about the people that she loved in the area that she knew, and she didn't find them, so she had to write about them. And that's kind of the same thing that I did. And it's kind of a, I always thought it was sort of a pompous quote from James Joyce, but he made a comment about in Portrait of the Artist of a Young Man, how the main character is going to go off and forge in the smithy of my soul the uncreated consciousness of my race. And I thought, well, I can kind of do that. My family's been here in the UP forever, and I know what it's like to live here, and I can create a fictional world that seems real based on that. And, you know, a lot of my readers have told me, well, you know, you really captured that. That's exactly how I feel when I look at the lake, or I've had those same thoughts myself, or I used to know somebody that worked at this grocery store, just like your character. Is he the inspiration? And, you know, I tell him no, but you kind of wonder if you're drawing on some larger sense of the area that's developed over time.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Tyler Tichelaar, author of his latest book, Spirit of the North. Stay tuned, because we are going to continue this personal and candid conversation with Tyler and learn more about what's behind an accomplished author and how true is fiction. But in the meantime, if you want to check out his website, it is www.marquettefiction.com, and that is www.marquettefiction.com. And then what is amazing is that when you fictionalize it, other things come into play, and then you actually make it interesting and relevant, not just for the people that are from your area, but it's also applicable to readers everywhere. So how is this book, Spirit of the North, relevant to current times and to today's readers everywhere?
Well, you know, it's a survival story, and in that sense, maybe a little bit more in the past, you know. But I'm kind of hoping that people will say, you know, if these people could go through all that back in the 1800s, when they had life was really tough for them, I can get through too, you know, and kind of draw strength and courage from those events from the past. And I think it's a book that really kind of questions the meaning of life and existence and thinking outside of the box and not being tied down into rigid ways of thinking. And I think especially now in the 21st century that's happened, where, you know, I've seen polls where most Americans call themselves spiritual rather than religious. They're less prone to belong to a specific religious denomination, but they still have that longing and that desire to feel that their lives are meaningful and to connect with, you know, a greater power, whether they want to call it God or the universe or source energy. You know, hopefully that Barbara's story in this book, hopefully that's something that they can relate to and really feel that there is something bigger out there and that everything is going to work out for the best.
Yeah, I love that. And you actually anticipated my next question, because I was going to ask you what did you hope that the reader would get about this story?
Well, I'll sum that up by I've been signing the books, and whenever I sign a book, I've been signing them, Fear Not the Ghost, All Is Well.
Wow, yeah.
So that's what I really hope that people will realize that life doesn't have to be full of worry and pain and suffering, but that, you know, in the end, everything really works out.
And that's the beautiful of historical fiction. Is basically it's a documentation of in a personal way, even though it's fictionalized, but it's still a documentation, not of historical facts, but of the human experience through history.
Right.
I think. I think that this book, Spirit of the North, is no different. It's actually a great example of your passion for the area and history per se and the human experience. So tell me in one sentence what the theme of the book is. And that's a hard one because it seems like this has to do with so many things. So if you have to put it in one sentence, what is the theme of the book?
I would say that life is what you make of it, and all will be well if you trust in the best.
That's great. I wanted to ask you about your background, too.
Okay.
I was very impressed when I learned a little bit more of all the things that you've done. And you started with just one poem when you were kid, which is the one that that you talked about. What made you continue writing? Is this something that when you were a kid you just always did out of instinct, or did you get inspired by somebody to get into it?
Well, I always loved to read. My mom would read to me before I could read, and I always loved reading. And I think I was in third or fourth grade. I had a friend who told me that her aunt had written a couple mystery novels. And I don't think I really understood that being an author was like a job, that was something you could grow up to be until that point. And after that, that was pretty much always what I wanted to grow up to be. And so I just, I wrote as much as I could. I was 16, I started writing my first novel seriously, where that summer I religiously sat at my desk for a couple hours every morning and worked on a novel. And ever since then, I've tried every day to write. I don't always, sometimes it's weeks or months, you get interrupted by life. But I always feel like every day that's my task, to write something, that if I don't, it's like the day has kind of been wasted. So even if I just write a few sentences or something.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I wish I could write even more often. But, as long as you write a couple of sentences, like a satisfaction, that happens right there, and you feel accomplished something.
Right.
Yeah. Do you write only about history, or do you write other things?
I wouldn't say I write solely about history. I've been working on another novel, Sam Marquette, it's more recent. It takes place in the summer of 2005. So it does have some historical elements because the main characters think back. But I'm kind of trying to bring my stories up to the contemporary period. And I'm writing a series. Well, I wrote a nonfiction book about King Arthur, which is history. Now I'm working on a fictional series about King Arthur, which is history, but it's also a lot of fantasy that's being intertwined into it.
Yeah. And I want to ask you something, because I know that you're also a co-host, a regular co-host in Author Access. So
right.
How does it feel to be interviewed right now?
You know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking to be on the other end. When I'm hosting, I'm always like, as I'm listening to the guests talk, I'm always trying to think of the next question to ask, and now I'm, you know, kind of always worried about what the next question going to be asked.
I know, it's like being put on the spot constantly.
Yeah.
For, you know, 30 minutes or so, isn't
yeah.
it?
But, you know, I think right now you're doing a great job. We just are making it like a conversation. The same thing when we host Authors Access, we just try to make it sound like a conversation and pretend that nobody's going to listen to it at the moment.
Yeah. You know, looking into your writing career, you have accomplished so many publications, and you have done so much for the promotion of history of Marquette, because Marquette is a very small town. And did you ever imagine that you would get where you are now, and that you would take a passion for the place that you love, that you call home, and put it out there the way you did?
It depends on what age I was. When I was a kid, no, I wouldn't. I mean, I always imagined writing great books, but not necessarily about the Marquette area. I actually started writing my Marquette novels in 1999, which was the city's sesquicentennial, 150th anniversary, and that kind of helped inspire me with the idea to write a series of novels about the area. But I also felt like I could use the area as a sort of a jumping off point for just describing the American experience and the great American dream being played out here with the lives of the immigrants coming to this country and hoping for a better life. And hopefully it would attract people no matter where they're from. And the people that I've had read my books who do live in other areas have felt that it is relevant to them, even though they may have never been to Upper Michigan.
And, we're getting close to running out of time, but I'd like to ask you something. I think that it's very important that our readers see the other side of an author. And it's wonderful that you've been so open and you're talking about, how you got inspired and all this. So after all these years of writing and being inspired and publishing and working what many of us would call, our dream career, what would you tell the 11-year-old you, before you published your first poem? What would you tell the 11-year-old you after all these experiences that you've had in writing?
I would say don't be afraid. It's all going to work out. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And do what you love doing and just focus on that. Because, I made side trips off the main goal, and I did have people tell me, you'll never make a living being an author and things like that, and it's not really true. If you are dedicated to it and you work hard at it and you put time aside to write as frequently as you can, it all works out in the end.
Well said. That's great. And for the readers, I encourage you to visit Tyler's website. It has so much information. You're also an editor. Your website is marquettefiction.com, and that is marquettefiction.com. You're also an editor with Superior Book Promotions, and I encourage everybody to check out your website. You have some information about the book and your other books, and you have your blog also. Where can they find Spirit of the North right now?
Online, you can find it at my website, marquettefiction.com. It's also at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com. It's in Kindle and other ebook formats as well. And here in Upper Michigan, it's in a lot of the bookstores.
Thank you again, Tyler, for being with us. It's been great talking to you in such a candid and personal way, and to get a little inside scoop of an author's inspiration, what's behind writing books with you. So I really appreciate it. Thank you for being with us again today.
Well, thank you. I had a good time.
And to you readers, thank you again, and until next time.